Okay, good evening, everybody. Shalom Aleichem, and thank you so much for joining me again. Hard to believe we are now beginning the fifth discussion in our series, I believe, of six essential takeaways from the COVID crisis. And tonight I would like to begin my discussion by sharing a story that is not particularly remarkable. It is not profound in any way, but it's one that sticks out of my mind and I think serves as a good starting point for tonight's discussion. So I distinctly recall, as perhaps some of you have similar memories, that in the first few weeks, perhaps month or so, after we were forced to quarantine and lock down, on Shabbos in particular, after we davened in the morning, sometimes before we ate lunch, we'd take a walk, sometimes with one or two of my children, and we'd walk in the immediate area, trying to say a quick hello to some people, particularly those who may be alone. And one of these first weeks, we passed a couple from the shul who were, coming our way. And one of them said something which, probably she didn't think was all that profound at the moment, but made a big rosh on me at the moment. And she said she was walking around and she was just sort of looking at the trees, the grass, the cars, whatever it is. And she says, I'm noticing so many things about my neighborhood that I never noticed before. What does that mean? Given the fact that everybody had sort of been knocked off balance, we were now experiencing our world in a very different way that we had been accustomed to until now. Suddenly, we were experiencing the world in which we had already always known, but from a very different perspective. And at least as far as this woman was reflecting, she was sort of noticing things that we had never noticed before. And I remember at the time walking back home over the next few minutes and trying to sort of zoom out a little bit and sort of take that in. And all of a sudden, I as well was noticing, although it was somewhat of a deliberate effort on my part at the time, I was noticing things that I was suddenly unsure if they had always been there before. A tree that was positioned in a certain way on the top of my block. Suddenly, I became fixated on one of the doors of my neighbors and wondering whether or not they had recently painted their door because I had never noticed that color. And I was wondering, is that color new? Did they paint this? Or has it always been there? And I simply never noticed it before. At least for myself, and I hope that you can relate to this on a certain level, experiencing the last few months has enabled us, perhaps, to notice, to recognize, to appreciate the world in many, many different areas in a way that we have never been able to before. There is a concept which is known as hislamdus. Rav Volbe in the Sefer Al-Ishur actually explains that the meat of hislamdus, which I'm going to define in a moment, is actually part and parcel of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It means more than just to learn, but it really means how important it is for a person to stop, to notice, to observe, whether within the realm of Talmud Torah or perhaps just more broadly, nature, relationships, experiences that we have, and to learn and to grow from them. Rav Volbe highlights one particular Mishnah. He has a rather lengthy chapter on this topic, but one particular Mishnah which really spotlights how important this Midah is. It's a Mishnah which is found in the beginning of the fourth chapter of Maseches Avos, which is actually the perek that we study this week. Ben Zomer taught Ezo Chacham, who is a chacham, a wise person? Halo made mikol adam, shenemar mikom lamdai hiskalti, a person who was able to learn from every person, every individual. And the Bar Tanur explains over there, why is that so important? Why is that individual called a chacham? Halo mikol adam, vafa pishuhu katan mimenu. Writes the Bar Tanur, even if the person that I am learning from, my Rebbe, if you will, in this particular situation, is smaller than me, a person who is not as accomplished, not as learned, a person not of a similar stature. Shekevan shun chasal kavodo velomid men ketanim. Since this individual is not concerned about honor and is able to sort of lower themselves and learn from someone who is not on a similar madrega, nikarim hadvarim shechachmaso hu l'shem shemayim velo l'syaher l'spaher ba. It is clear, it is evidence, says the Bar Tanur, that this individual is somebody who is seeking chachma, who is interested in the pursuit of truth,
l'shem shemayim, for all the right reasons. Not because one is looking to promote themselves, not because they are looking to boost their reputation, the way that they are viewed by others, merely because this person is a curious individual and a person who is seeking knowledge, a person who wants to learn. And if I am the type of person who am able to go ahead and to learn from everyone, so then I am truly a chacham. And Rav Volbo goes on to make the following observation. We know that in life, very often, people who are professionals tend to notice things that are special to their particular area of specialty and interest. So, for example, a tailor will notice the way a person's suit fits or doesn't. A shoemaker will notice if a person's shoes look like they fit properly or doesn't. A person who's a hat maker will notice the way a hat is sitting on top of one's head. And he says a Yari Shemayim will perhaps notice the degree to which others, and hopefully himself, is emidaktik in mitzvos. And a Baal Chesed will notice and take note of the way others perform acts of Chesed. Aval lo meid mikol adam, writes Rav Volbo, a person who learns from everyone, mislamed mizulaso kol mashnitein lomod. This individual will learn whatever it is that he can learn. Vigami devarim shahayu adko michutz tchum ha'isinuno shalo. Even something which is out of my area of interest, I'm interested, I'm curious, and I will notice these things. A person who is a lomid mikol adam is pasuach, he said he's open lakol. And not only other only people, Chazal tell us that they were in Davkuf and Beis, that had the Torah not taught us about the value, the importance of tznius, we could have learned the concept of modesty from a cat, because the way a cat conducts itself when it needs to relieve itself, so it does so in a very, very modest, a very hidden manner, very tzniustuka fashion, if you will. We would have been able to learn the importance of honesty and how terrible it is to steal from an ant. Because if you ever notice the way an ant goes ahead and works, it has a very, very noble work ethic, and it will go this way, that way, but never will it go ahead and beat up one of the guys online and grab his little morsel of bread. Rather, he's committed to the task at hand. Arayos miyona, derecheritz mitarnagol. The Gemara goes on to observe that we can learn so many things even from animals, from the natural world. So we see from here, he points out that Chazal, who were the greatest mislamdim, and of course, reflecting back to the Bar Tanura, individuals who undoubtedly knew so much, were of great stature, they taught us how we can learn from everyone and everything. And then Rav Volbo goes on to say something which is very fascinating. He says that the concept of being a mislamed is not something which is, he says, einzos mida pratit. This is not something which is a particular specialty within midos. Ela signon chayov shel oved musari. This is an orientation. This is a complete mindset which totally defines the perspective, the personality of a person who is growth-oriented. And says Rav Volbo, who writes in the second volume of a very thick Sefer Musar, one of the greatest Balei Musar of the previous generation, he said, if we would only study Musar for this purpose, if it would only be for this, this would already be worth it. Rav Volbo writes that if we would only become people who are growth-oriented, if we would study Musar merely to become individuals who are able to learn and halavai, achieve high, meaningful levels within the realm of Islamdus, it would be worth it just for that. So it seems to me, and again, I hope that you can relate to this on a certain level, that the experience of the past almost 5 months, the COVID crisis, has provided us an incredible opportunity for Islamdus to go ahead and to notice and to observe things that perhaps we didn't notice, we didn't observe, and maybe did not appreciate on the same level we had in the past. Some of them we have mentioned already, particularly within the realm, although not exclusively, but within the realm of Torah mitzvos. When it comes to davening, I've made this point already at least once, maybe twice in previous sessions, we've had the opportunity to notice things about davening that perhaps we have never noticed before. Ironically and strangely, even though we've been taken forced out of sort of formal, appropriate traditional prayer settings, it has also strangely and perhaps unexpectedly enabled us to see things in a way that perhaps we hadn't before. You know, being told that you cannot sing the words of Kel Adon, which
again, is a little strange, because for many of us, we're accustomed that when we come to Shul, Keladon is one of those parts of davening that we're used to singing. And having to just say the words, for myself personally, enabled me to discover, to notice things about that particular part of davening that I'd never noticed before. Now, I'm not saying this is now the new ideal, that we should never sing Keladon again. But having the opportunity to see things from a different perspective, from a different vantage point, has sometimes some very unexpected benefits. The entire experience of davening has become much simpler. Many of us come from communities where we're used to being able to find a minyan at virtually any point in the day. There is a term that is used to describe certain shuls that have multiple minyanim running around the clock, minyan factories. Today, in many of our communities, mincha and ma'ariv is at a very, very specific time. You have to be in a particular time and place, and that's it. If it doesn't work for you, well then so what? Well then too bad. And this has enabled us, perhaps, to notice, to experience davening in a completely different way. For many of us, our Shabbos, and I would say Shabbos table in particular, has become a different experience. I know that, speaking for myself, we are very accustomed to having guests at our Shabbos table. Of course, we always made time where it would just be family. But having the opportunity, which was not necessarily by choice, for many, many weeks, and at this point months, being, for lack of a better word, forced to be together, and together with ourselves only, has enabled us to experience Shabbos in a different way. Is it always better? Is it necessarily more meaningful and fulfilling than it was before? Perhaps sometimes yes, maybe not always, but it's different. And it gives us the ability, if we make an effort to do so, to be mislamed, to learn to take something different that perhaps we hadn't noticed before. You know, for some of you, we may have forgotten this, but you remember in the weeks leading up to Pesach, there was a tremendous amount of communally and individual anxiety over the Seder experience. How were we going to be able to celebrate Pesach, in particular, the Pesach Seder, for people who would be all alone? And thankfully, I personally did not have to experience the Pesach Seder alone. And I know that some did, and I understand that for many people, that was a very difficult, and really, in some cases, perhaps a very dreadful experience. That being said, anecdotally, I can only say that many, if not most of the people that I spoke to, who were very concerned about what the Pesach Seder was going to be like beforehand, either because they would be with different people, or not the same people, they'd be at home and not away, whatever the case is, found it to be a very fulfilling experience. Some people even said, after having dreaded Pesach for weeks, that it was the most meaningful and memorable Pesach that they ever had. Again, the point over here is not that, and now this is the way we want it to be forever and ever, but we have had the opportunity to see things and to experience things differently. I've had individuals say to me that for the first time, they were able to count Sirius HaOmer every single night. How satisfying it is for one of my young children, my 11-year-old daughter, who said for the first time she was able to recite the bracha every time. So what's pshat? Is she so much more religiously committed and devoted this year than she was the year before? The answer is no, because last year, again, and every other year prior, we're always going and coming, and so many things going on, and so many distractions in your way a couple of nights, and all of a sudden, you know how easy it is to get sort of knocked off course, and that's it, I'm out. But I heard from so many individuals that this year was different. People were grounded. People were able to experience things in a way which enabled them to discover things about mitzvahs and things about themselves they had never before. Within the realm of relationships, particularly for those who are zocher, for those who are privileged to have members of their family that they live with, have an opportunity to, I don't want to say meet and discover, perhaps in some cases that is so, but certainly to become familiar and perhaps more familiar with people who I live with, who I have perhaps not been devoting myself as completely, as single-mindedly, in the focus sort of way that I should until now. You know, there's a term which several years ago meant one thing and now it means something else. FaceTime, right? It used to be, 10, 20 years ago, we also used to speak about FaceTime. FaceTime meant when you would actually sit and talk face-to-face with somebody. Today, FaceTime describes, of course, the ability to go ahead and communicate with somebody else through an iPhone. But for many of us, we had the opportunity, I want to say for the first time in our lives, but for the first time in a long time, to be able to experience true, genuine FaceTime with people, not through any electronic medium, but just to go ahead and to interact with people face to face. I don't remember if it was the third week or fourth week, myself and my family, we did something that I don't think we've done in many, many years, and I don't know if we'll ever do it again. We had a movie night. Perhaps some of listening from time to time, you have, you know, a night where the entire family watches a movie. It was, needless to say, not so easy to find a movie that we would all watch together. But there it was in Amotzi Shabbos. For all of us, we sat down for 2 hours, and I know that it was a very memorable moment. It was not a religiously inspiring moment. What we watched is really not all that important. But having the opportunity to go ahead and to just, you know, leave the world out there and to notice and to discover things about ourselves within our familiar setting at Dalin Amos that we hadn't for a long time beforehand is a very, very special and unique opportunity. For many of us, we are able, hopefully, to appreciate our health more than we have in the past. Needless to say, more than anything else, the COVID crisis has been a health crisis. Some of us, perhaps, came very close to facing some very, very difficult and dreadful situations. Perhaps we have members of the family or friends who unfortunately lost their lives over the past number of months. But for anybody who's listening right now, I hope that each and every one of us can certainly say that we appreciate our health more than we did beforehand. I heard a story then once that towards the end of the life of Rav Shimon Schwab, Zuchana Levracha, he was sick and he wasn't feeling well. And somebody asked him, Rebbe, how are you doing? And he said, I feel like a person who was once given a gift of, $1 billion, and now the person who gave me the gift has asked for $20,000 back. You know, it's all a matter of perspective. I've been very blessed. You know, my entire life, I've enjoyed very good health. And now, I'm struggling a little bit. So one attitude I could have is that life is terrible and I'm so miserable and I'm suffering and I'm in pain. But another attitude is just put things in perspective and to say, I understand and I appreciate something that until now I was taking for granted. You know, every morning when we recite the Berachos HaShachar, we speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is, let's say, for example, Pokeach Ivrim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu enables the blind to see. Malbish Arumim, he gives clothes to those who are naked. Matir Asurim, he enables those who are bound and stuck to be able to unwind and to Zokev Kefufim, those who are lying down and bent to stand up. Who are we referring to over here? Who are the blind people who suddenly can see? Who are these naked people who suddenly have been given clothes? And the answer is, we're talking about ourselves. That we are, by default, Ivrim. We are Kfufim, we are Surim, we are Arumim. This is our default nature. Unfortunately, very often in life, we take these things for granted. We don't appreciate that. We don't see ourselves. We see ourselves as seeing mobile, clothed individuals. And we're perplexed. Who are we talking about when we say these brachos in the morning? But a person who goes through life with the perspective of hislandus, of being able to notice and to appreciate the things that are around us all the time, but through somehow of a different focused, deliberate perspective, we can walk away with a much more enriched perspective and attitude. Why is it, perhaps, that before this crisis, and maybe when it's all over, why is it that it's a little more challenging, it's a little more difficult to excel in the midah of hislandus? So first and foremost, I'll take you right back to the Bar Tanura, where we were before. The Bar Tanura says, why is it that Ben Zoma teaches Aizoh Chacham Halomen Mikol Adam? Because typically speaking, people unfortunately tend to be Balai Gaiva. People can be very haughty, very arrogant. And when I am such an individual, I don't notice things. I don't take much interest in ideas and thoughts and perspectives that other people have, particularly if they are Ketanim Mimeni, as the Bar Tanura says. What do you have to teach me? However, a person who is a humble person, a person who is, as he says over here, not chos al kavodo, a person who is not concerned about honor and glory and his reputation, so such an individual is able, his mind and his heart is open, and he's able to learn and to discover things that he would never seen before. Undoubtedly, the COVID crisis has been a very humbling experience for all of us. Even the greatest of people, the wealthiest of people, people who are able to solve problems with just the snap of the fingers, have really been brought to their knees. And people have been very, very humbled by this experience. And so therefore, perhaps for that reason, our eyes are opened a little bit. And as I started tonight, people walk through the street and they say, you know what? I'm noticing things about the world that I'd never noticed before. Additionally, I think that prior to this crisis, many of us were way too distracted to notice the so many things that are around us. This is particularly true over the last number of years when we've become so inundated with technology. Technology has completely created this endless, I would say it's like this powerful black hole, which pulls us in constantly. So we hardly get any time, if any, that we are truly disconnected, literally disconnected, which enables us to go ahead and to sort of connect with ourselves and with our surroundings. When there's too much noise pollution, we can't hear the chirping of the birds. When there's too much light pollution, we can't see the countless stars. And when there's too much pollution, which is generated by technology, we can't appreciate the incredible, beautiful, wonderful world that we live in, both the internal world and the world around us. And I believe that this crisis, to a certain extent, has forced many of us to notice our world and to experience our world from a different vantage point. You know, twice the Torah tells us that when we come to Yerushalayim to celebrate Yom Tov, we are to celebrate a day which is called Atzeres. The Torah uses that term in reference to the last day of Pesach, as well as the day after, or if you will, the last day of Sukkot, known to us as Shmini Atzeres. Interestingly, even though Chazal referred to Shavuos as Atzeres, the Torah does not use the word Atzeres to describe Shavuos, but we could say about all the Yom Tovim through the Torah and through Chazal, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, that there's an element of Atzeres. What does the word Atzeres mean? Atzeres, if you've been to Israel, you know that the eight-sided red sign at the end of every block, right by the intersection, here it says stop. In Israel it says Atzor. It means to stop. Atzeres means to stop. The Sfarno and the Netziv as well writes it somewhat differently. They explain on this word is found in Parshas Emor that the concept of Atzeres is to stop and to sort of take it in. People who have had the opportunity to go ahead and to travel to Yerushalayim and to be in a completely different set of surroundings and to experience in life in a very, very spiritual environment, to be around the Kohanim. While you are there, the Torah says, Atzeres, just stop. Just stop. Whatever it is you're doing, just stop and take it in. And this experience, we'll call it a crisis, and without a doubt, on a certain level, it has been just that, has also been a profound opportunity for us to just sort of stop and to notice, to observe, and to learn from things that were there all along. But again, there was too much distraction, there was too much pollution, there was too much noise to be able to really properly take it in. And finally, I think that when nothing is a given, and this is the idea that we think we spoke about the first week, the whole idea of uncertainty, when there's so much uncertainty and when nothing is a given in the world, so then we are suddenly able to notice things in a way that we didn't before. When I think that I have everything figured out and I know exactly what my day is going to look like and I know what I'm going to be doing in 2 days from now, I know who I'm meeting with and I know that I have a wedding in 2 weeks from now, and everything planned out, so it's very difficult to see outside of that very, very confined Ms. Garrett. When, however, things are not certain, and when nothing is a given, and all of the things that I've assumed until now are no longer to be taken for granted, so suddenly, for the first time, I am actually able to understand, to relate, to appreciate things in a way that I haven't before. I'd like to conclude with one point for your consideration. You know, we know that in the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash, in the Kodesh Kadashim, was the Aron, and on top of the Aron was the Kapores, on top of which were the Kruvim. We all have sort of an image in our mind of what the Kruvim looked like. The Torah describes them, and Chazal tell us that the image of the Kruvim were of young children. Young children. The Pasuk that is cited in describing what exactly it is, or what a Kruv means, is a Pasuk, Ki Nar Yisrael V'ohavehu. That Klai Yisrael, the Bnei Yisrael, are compared in this pasuk to a na'ar, to a child. And there are many different explanations as to why it is, what is the symbolism of this idea that the Kruvim, which are sort of reflecting or symbolizing the heart, sort of this perfect state of the Jew, as being like a na'ar, what is the significance of a na'ar? Some say innocence, some say purity, there are different explanations. The Sab Mikelm explains that the reason why the Kruvim are take the form of children is to teach us shahasra shashchina tluya bihischadshus v'hiskadmus masmedes k'mo atinok, that our success in bringing the Shekhinah into our life depends on our ability to go ahead and to have a very new, a fresh, and a very curious and growth-oriented mindset. Constantly, just like children. Children are the most curious beings on the in the world. They're always looking around. They have so many questions. They're fascinated by the world in which they find themselves. And we are supposed to have a similar type of attitude. The Sal Mikelm explains that that's why Chazal referred to a Torah scholar as a Talmud Chacham. Why a Talmud Chacham? A Chacham, I understand. A Talmud means a student. And he explains because a true Chacham is a person who's always learning, right? As oh Chacham, halo me mikol adam. A person who's always curious. A person who has never learned enough. And I don't necessarily have to be in front of my Rebbe. I don't have to have a sefer open necessarily. I don't have to be learning something for the very first time. I could be noticing and observing and learning from things that I have seen countless times beforehand, but seeing them from a different perspective. And here we have an opportunity every single day, right? We refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our davening, not just as the one who was the Oseh Bereishis, Oseh Maaseh Bereishis, but Hashem who is Mechadesh B'chol Yom Tamid Maaseh Bereishis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu each and every day renews creation and gives us the ability, if we pay attention, to notice things about our world, about our surroundings, about our life, that perhaps we haven't given proper attention to until now. You know, we live in a world in which we have access to all the information that we want, right? I believe that this is actually called the age of information. We can find out anything we want about everything, just like this. Whatever you're curious about, whatever interests you, you can begin to explore and you can get lots of information. And let's even assume that all the information that you're going to access is accurate and it's true, which of course is certainly not the case. But even if that's so, that doesn't necessarily make us more intelligent. It doesn't necessarily make us more insightful. It doesn't necessarily make us even more enriched as people. Because ultimately, the way we really, really learn about the world, in addition of obviously to accessing and to acquiring information in healthy dosages, is by taking it in and allowing it to sort of percolate, allowing it to sort of rest in our mind and our heart, to think about it, to process it, and to be able to then experience the world in sort of a new way and from a new perspective. And we have gotten very, very good at accessing, you know, all the information in the world we want, but I'm not sure that we're smarter. I'm not sure that we're more insightful. And to a certain extent, I think, and probably in our personal experiences, we can relate to this, we've become a lot more withdrawn from the world. We've become detached from the world. We've become disconnected from the world. And so therefore, this crisis, the COVID crisis, which completely knocked us off the grid and sort of forced us back into our corners, has given us incredible opportunity to notice things about our world, about our life, about our relationships, and even about ourselves that perhaps we have failed to take sufficient notice of before. And so therefore, I hope and pray that even when this crisis is long over, we will learn to continue to try to master the Midah of Hislamdus. The Midah that Rav Volbo tells us, even if we would study Musar merely for this reason alone, just to become people who understand what it means to be mislamdim, people who can take notice and observe the things in the world around us, and to become better, more enriched, more insightful people, to learn Ezo Chacham Halomim Mikol Adam, it would be worth it just for that. And so this is my suggestion as to the fifth essential takeaway from the COVID crisis. I thank you so much for joining me. And I look forward to continuing and I think concluding our conversation next week. Stay tuned for the sixth and final episode in our series of six essential takeaways from the COVID crisis. Thank you very much and have a wonderful night.